a few years ago that President Biden signed into law the $1 trillion U.S. infrastructure bill. That domestic spending agenda funnels billions to state and local governments to build and upgrade roads, bridges, transit systems, and more. But where are those billions going? And are the contractors and firms who get a piece of that pie the ones who need and deserve that work? Well, the Equity in Infrastructure Project has been established to make sure that previously overlooked businesses get a shot at the big deals. We'll explain how it works and whom it's helping. And your local small businesses, are they struggling after the pandemic? Has online shopping taken the customers away from local mom and pop stores? As we plunge into the holiday shopping season, there's a big push being made to bring those customers back to local merchants. And there could be a surprise cash bonus for shoppers who patronize them. We'll take a look. Fox 11 News In Depth starts right now. Hello, everyone. I'm Hal Eisner, and this is Fox 11 News In Depth. Just recently, public and private infrastructure executives joined forces to support equity in hiring contractors for construction projects across California. The Equity in Infrastructure Project pledge is intended to broaden opportunities for contractors who might not otherwise get a shot at those jobs. Phil Washington is the co-chair of the Equity in Infrastructure Project. And Phil, thanks for joining us. And for the sake of conversation, let's just refer to the Equity in Infrastructure Project as EIP. And in brief, what is the goal of EIP and why do we even need it?
Well, first of all, thank you for having me, Hal. The goal here is to have public sector agencies and even private sector agencies to commit to increasing generational wealth through contracting. So the idea is to get folks and agencies to commit to increase prime contracts for small businesses, to encourage joint ventures with small businesses. It's not just what we build with the infrastructure bill dollars. It's really who builds it and how they can be brought up in terms of benefiting from this $1.2 trillion bipartisan infrastructure bill.
Why do small businesses and female and minority run businesses get overlooked? And I gather that is a big piece of this equation.
Yes, it is. They often get overlooked in terms of projects that are put on the street or bid on. And a lot of times there are subcontracting goals that are out there, and those goals are out there. They're very good. But what we're saying is for prime contract opportunities, that small, minority, women-owned, veteran-owned businesses should have a shot at the bigger contract. That is what builds generational wealth in underserved communities.
But, you know, when we talk about businesses that get overlooked, and especially when we talk about businesses and communities of color and women and others, it's not purely prejudice, right?
No, I think, I mean, that could be part of it. But I think what we're dealing with here are barriers that are there, like bonding, barriers that exist that don't have to be there. There's access to capital that many small and minority businesses cannot gain that access to build their staffs and buy materials and that sort of thing. So we're asking folks to, hey, look, understand that these small businesses are the lifeblood of the economy in this country. And let's break down those barriers. Let's provide opportunities. If you are a government sector organization, provide opportunities to pay them quicker than perhaps they're getting paid right now. So we're looking at ways to break down those barriers to increase generational wealth in those communities and with those businesses.
You know, like in a lot of conversations, there are certain things that people just within those industries understand. And we have a fairly broad audience here of people who may not have anything in the way of knowledge about what we're talking about with regard to infrastructure, with regard to bonding, with regard. So let's break that down a little bit, because if you're somebody who's trying to compete for something, you have to have the resources, and that not only includes what it takes to do a job, it also takes things like insurance, right? You have to be able to pay for insurance, and that insurance has to be, what, the cost of the project?
Yes. I mean, it's different levels of insurance that are required based on the project size. And so the idea here is that when the president signed the bipartisan infrastructure bill of $1.2 trillion, that was the largest government bill, if you will, and definitely in our lifetimes. And so the idea is to say, hey, listen, there's a lot of barriers. Let's identify the barriers that stop small businesses for competing for this work. Let's identify those. And you just mentioned some of them, Al. But let's identify those and let's break those down. The government agencies that you have out in LA Metro or LA County, they are doing a fantastic job of doing some of this. We need more agencies from around the country to break down these various barriers. And so we are encouraging CEOs to step up to do that.
And just for the sake of all kinds of transparency here, you mentioned Metro, and you used to work at Metro and headed up the operation before you moved on. And we're on this show, Fox 11 News In Depth, when you joined Metro as the what was the general manager?
Yes, the CEO there at L.A. Metro. Yes.
Yeah. So when we talk about things like the EIP pledge. Okay, the pledge is a bunch of people coming together and making a promise. First of all, what is that pledge? Number two, how is that pledge enforced?
Thank you for asking, what is the pledge? I think when the president signed the bill, we began to think about how we could operationalize an executive order that he signed. And this executive order talked about advancing racial equity and support for underserved communities through the federal government. That particular executive order talked about increasing generational wealth in those communities, Black, Brown communities, and other underserved communities. And so we began to think about, could we put together what I call a coalition of the willing? A coalition of the willing that is the CEO of the various organizations making this commitment to award more prime contracts to minority firms. We started the kickoff on December 7th, 2021 with five agencies. These were five CEOs that came together, two transit agencies, one port, one airport, and one water district, coming together to say, hey, we will start this effort. Now we have 55 agencies from around the country. And what they're saying is, one, we will commit to increasing prime contracts, the big contracts,
right,
the general contracts to minority firms. We will commit to encouraging joint ventures that include those firms as well. We will commit to paying minority firms promptly, because if a small company has to wait 30 days to get paid for some work, that really puts them in a tough spot.
It certainly can. And unfortunately, we're in a tough spot, because I need you to wrap it up in 10 seconds because we have to move on to the commercial break.
Yeah. And so we've been successful with all of this, and we hope that other agencies sign on to this commitment.
All right, Phil Washington, thanks so much for joining us. Good to see you again. And coming up next on Fox 11 News In Depth, we talk to some local contractors who are moving up in the world thanks to the helping hand they've been getting from projects like these. We'll be right back. Don't go away. Welcome back to Fox 11 News In Depth. I'm Hal Eisner. Let's talk a little more about the subject of fairness. And joining us right now to talk about small businesses are three people that I think will be able to give us a pretty good idea of what we're talking about. Juan Garcia, you're with a company called PG Cutting Services, and I want to know a lot about what that is, actually. And then Adam and Bethany White have a company called Fixed Dimensions. And so your service is cutting concrete?
We cut concrete. We core holes through concrete for new construction or rehab projects.
And Bethany?
We are a woman-owned business. We supply cabinets and cabinet installation.
And so your husband works for you.
That's correct.
I got it. Okay, great. And what's your feeling about the subject of fairness in businesses?
I think it's great that there's more focus on small businesses getting big contracts. It really does help us.
So let's talk about this a little bit. One, we talk about this equity and this pledge and this need for infrastructure fairness, and the big guys get all the big bucks. And what's your experience with that? And do you think this pledge that we've talked about can make a difference?
I really do think that it can make a difference. It's made somewhat of a difference already for us through the certification programs and the city and county mentorship programs. It has helped already. And without it, it would be a challenge.
And you own this business.
Yes.
And so it's a minority-owned business.
Yes.
And when we talk about minority-owned businesses, there are a lot of complications. It's a bigger kind of a slog.
Well, you have to have all your... You know, there's small businesses, and everybody starts off in a garage, you know, one truck, one piece of equipment to say, but you have to scale up. You have to have all your ducks in a row with insurance and licensing and all that stuff. But then you hit a block wall sometimes with financing or with bonding or even just the opportunity to be able to bid on these bigger projects.
And that bonding term, again, has to do with the insurance and being able to protect the project. Mm-hmm. And so, Bethany, I guess, you know, have you had trouble and challenges getting contracts?
So I would say the biggest challenge is being able to have the cash flow and the capital to perform the work. So we have the skills, but in order to float the job for 30, 60, 90 days, that's where the contract-based financing has really propelled our business.
And Fixed Dimensions does what?
We install cabinets.
Do you find that when you're trying to bid for a job to install cabinets that you're beat out by bigger companies, companies that are not minority-based?
It can happen.
And why?
They are able to typically have smaller margins because they're a larger company. So as a small business, we have to maintain our margins. And like you said before, all of the extra expenses that are needed to perform that size of job.
But you know, whenever there's a challenge, you fall off a mountain, you climb back up the mountain again. So how'd you get that leg up? How did you manage to overcome some of these challenges?
One of the things that helped me was to start attending some of these programs and really start focusing on my own business's business development. Another big challenge that we were running into was bidding on public works projects and not being union. So we decided 7 years ago to join the union. And that made it just a lot easier to get on these prevailing wage projects per se.
We've talked about the equity and infrastructure pledge. We've talked now a little bit about the local end of this, and L.A. Regional Contractor Development and Bonding Program is something I want to touch on here. What is that?
So for us, they partnered with us to take a look at our financials and see what type of loan they could, at a low interest, they could provide us so that we could perform the work.
And so this program, L.A. Regional Contractor Development and Bonding, is it also something that not only just provides that, but provides all kinds of resources, perhaps a training on how to do certain things. Give me an idea of what that does.
They offer estimating classes. They offer, they help you create a capability statement. They assess your capability right now to see what you're bondable for and help you scale up that capacity. And they're there to help you continue to increase your bonding capabilities.
What would that be like if you didn't have that sort of a program, Bethany? And I guess we ought to give your husband a shot here, right?
No, she's doing great.
We're turning you into a minority
here. She's doing
great.
She's doing perfect.
What would you want to respond to that?
What was the question?
I don't remember. Right? No, I mean, you know, the point being that you've got these programs, they help you out, and the challenges that you've run into are things like...
Let's start with the bonding. To get any one of these contracts, you have to be able to be insured for it. And the bonding was crucial. Nobody's going to hire you on just your word alone.
How long have you been involved in this program?
About 2 years.
About 2 years, same for you?
About 6 years.
About 6 years. Yes. How effective has it been for you?
Very effective.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so it's made a difference?
Absolutely.
Would you give us a word or two on what the difference is?
You just feel this sense of support when you're bidding something. In fact, right now I'm bidding a big project in a week or two with LA Metro, and I need more bonding for this particular project, so we already have the wheels in motion. Without that, I would be a little lost or feel unsupported, perhaps.
You know, we're out of time, but just very briefly, what's the bottom line? Bottom line with regard to trying to be a small business, trying to work in the environment.
It's hard. If there wasn't these set-asides, these requirements where a percentage of the contract has to go to minorities and women-owned businesses and underserved communities, it would probably not be happening the way it is. Now, these percentages or these set-asides are more mandatory, so it gives us a real true opportunity.
And with all due respect, I'm going to give your boss the last word.
Absolutely. Okay.
I think this program allows us to grow as business owners and allows our business to grow.
All right. Bethany and Adam, thanks for joining us. And Juan, all the best to all of you.
Thank you.
Thanks for sharing your information. And coming up next on Fox 11 News In Depth, it's shopping season and local businesses are hurting for customers. The LA County Department of Economic Opportunity has a way to encourage residents to do their holiday shopping locally. And we'll tell you all about that right after this break. Don't go away.
Thank you, Hal.
Thank you so much, Bethany. Don't go away. You're still on camera, that's why. High five. As we move into the holiday shopping season, it's all too easy to open up our computers or get on our phones and order gifts and cards and decorations. But maybe we need to rethink the easy way of doing things and invest some time back into our local communities and local merchants. Joining us right now, the LA County Department of Economic Opportunity Director Kelly LoBianco. And good to see you.
Thank you. Good to see you too, Hal.
Thanks. Thanks for being here. And LA County has launched a new department to help workers and small businesses coming out of the pandemic. And so what do we need to know about the Department of Economic Opportunity?
Thank you. Well, you need to know about it first and foremost, because many people don't. It's a brand new department. The department launched in 2022, so we're about a year and a half old. The Board of Supervisors created the very first centralized economic and workforce development department in LA County. And we're here to support workers, small businesses, and our major industries in the region. We want folks to really believe and feel that this is the best place to live, work, and do business. And so those are our customers. We're here to provide policy and programs and services and resources to our small businesses to help them thrive.
What do you hear from the small businesses in the county?
Mm-hmm. Well, we know it's been a rough go, right? We know small businesses are an important part of our county. They're our economic engines. We have over a million small businesses right here in the region. We know that our small businesses have a huge proportion of minority and women-owned businesses within them. There are anchor institutions. They create jobs. They reinvest their money right back into the economy. But the pandemic was hard for them.
Of course.
They were our essential frontline workers, and they kept us safe and kept us, continuing on. And 15,000 small businesses temporarily and permanently shuttered in the first few months alone. So we know folks are still trying to recover. And we know generally small businesses, they need information, they need capital, they need connection with each other. And so our department's here to try to provide those resources and make sure that they can keep doing what they do best, which is serving our local communities.
All right. I'm going to say three words.
Okay.
This is a game. I'm going to say three words and you tell me what it means. Okay. Shop LA County.
Shop LA County. All right, so the department is launching a brand new campaign for the holiday season called Shop Local LA County. That means we want you to do that, just that. We want you to go to your favorite local small business, invest in them. But more importantly, we are actually looking for 100,000 people to pledge to shop local. And so they can go to shoplocal.la, sign the pledge saying that they love small businesses, they're going to shop small businesses, they're going to keep contributing to our economy. And then they earn the opportunity
to be part of a LA sweepstakes. So every week for the next few weeks, we're going to be giving someone $500 to shop at their favorite small business.
Now, that's if they sign the pledge.
You got to sign the pledge.
And that puts you on the list. That enters you in the sweepstakes.
Exactly. You sign the pledge, you sign up for the sweepstakes, you have the opportunity to reinvest right back in our local small businesses. And another cool part of the Shop Local LA County campaign is not just that we're getting folks to pledge and to shop, which is all good, it's holiday times, but our small businesses also need upgrades in their own technology. So we're helping them get their websites up to speed. We're helping them build their digital presence. So the campaign's also technical assistance for our small businesses so that it makes it easier to shop in person and online with them.
And as we've heard in previous segments, getting assistance from the outside can make a huge difference.
It can.
So when you help somebody from the outside, and I assume you've been doing some of that already, what does that entail? And is there any cost associated with that?
With supporting our small businesses?
No, we only have a half a minute here.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we do a lot to support our small businesses. What we try to do is provide no-cost supports to them. So we have concierge services. We have no-cost legal support. One thing that connects to some of the contractors we just heard from is we run the county certification program. So we sign folks up, make sure that they have access to our preference programs and access $6 to $8 billion in county contracts each year by price bid reductions, prompt payment, getting on special lists so that we can make sure that we can leverage their goods and services each and every day in our work of LA County.
Awesome. So you sign up at the website called
shoplocal.la.
And then somebody's going to put on a mask and pick out my name and say, you just won
$500. That's right. That's right.
They're not going to pick my name. It never happens. But anyway, thank
you
very much.
It could if you shop
well,
local
you never
and you
know.
Make the pledge.
Kelly LoBianco, thanks so much for joining
thank
us. Fox
so
11 News in Depth continues right after this break. Don't go away.
Thank you,
appreciate it. Did we get those two? And finally, if you want to hear an audio version of this program, check out my podcast. It's called What the Hal, and it's available wherever you subscribe to podcasts or just go to whatthehalpodcast.com. That's it for this week's Fox 11 News In Depth. Thanks so much for joining us. Have a great week, everybody, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.